Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the corporate jungle. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, industry titans step up to the mic, sharing their epic journeys. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their careers, creating a symphony of success. This isn't just another interview show. It's where truth bombs are dropped and secrets are revealed. So grab your conductor's baton, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next huge hit of your career. Are you ready? Let's go. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and I'm so happy you all decided to join us. Today, we're diving into the mystic realms with our special guest, Heather Plune. Heather's a certified Akashic Records intuitive and Reiki master teacher who helps bring clarity and insight into your soul's journey. Her spiritual path began in 2012 amidst her husband's battle with cancer. Inspired by his recovery, she pursued her passion for channeling the Akashic Records and was certified through Akashic Record Consultants International. Heather's sessions are a transformative experience where you can explore past lives, gain insights into relationships, career, and personal growth, and leave with a sense of newfound clarity and direction. Are you ready to explore the depths of your soul's journey? Well then, please welcome Heather Plune. Welcome, Heather.
Hi, Jim. I'm so happy to be on with you today. This is awesome.
Well, thank you so much for making time. Heather is a fellow social clubber, spiritual social clubber, I should say, through Jen Weigel, and that's how we met. Jen was so kind to introduce us, thinking that we both really enjoy each other, and she was not wrong. So thanks to Jen. I appreciate that. So why don't we go ahead and dive on in, because we've got a lot of ground to cover, because Akashic Records, that might be something new to some people out there. I know it was fairly new to me. I'd heard it before, never had anything done, but Heather and I had a session and it was mind blowing. So, but what I'd like to do is maybe have you discuss your background briefly before becoming an Akashic Records intuitive.
So before becoming an Akashic Records intuitive, first of all, I'm a mom. I have two girls, and I also was a practicing pediatric speech language pathologist. And as you mentioned earlier, I kind of opened my spiritual journey up with my husband's cancer journey. Thankfully, he's fine. All is well.
Thank goodness. Yes.
Yes. During that time, I was exposed to Reiki and got training in Reiki and was actually using the Reiki on myself and my family, and then able to volunteer with it and provide Reiki to others. And I was working with a gentleman who taught the Akashic Records and knew the Akashic Records. And he suggested that I have a reading. And at the time I said, I don't know what those are. I've never heard of those. And he said, well, you know, just give it a try. We have access to everything that your soul holds, all of the information. And I was very curious. And I did a reading with him and was able to get information that I could apply to my life that was extremely helpful in solving some issues that I was really desperately trying to work through for me and my children. And once I realized what had happened and that the work that I had done in the records had such a positive effect on my life, I really realized that I wanted to learn more about them.
And
that opened me up, and I was able to start taking some classes.
Very cool. So I want to hop back a little bit in what you had said about the gentleman who gave you your first Akashic Records reading. Again, what exactly are Akashic Records?
So Akashic Records are, as my teacher had told me, they're all the information that your soul holds. It is everything that your soul has experienced since it became its first ball of energy. Anything that you may have learned when you dropped down into a lifetime, anything your soul may have learned when it was hanging out up in the ethers between lifetimes. It also involves the plan that your soul made for this lifetime. And all of this is stored up in what I like to think of as this beautiful library up in the sky. And there's a volume for every soul and a volume for every person. And so when we open up the records, we can open up your book.
Okay. So what you mentioned, some of the information that you can receive, what can you give a rundown as to what that is in past lives? And is it also current? Or I won't answer that question for you or put words in your mouth. So maybe explain what all that information is.
Yes, that information is absolutely your past lives. It is also about the tribe of souls that you've traveled with in your past lives. It is for this life, we can gain information about your purpose that your soul wanted you to have when you came into this body, your gifts that your soul wanted you to have to support your purposes in this life, also in past lives. And the information that your soul holds also about those souls that you are traveling with this time, we can get information about them as well.
So I'm curious as to whether or not you said those gifts to help reach your goals or help you in the present lifetime. Has anyone ever been surprised about a gift that they were like, I didn't know that, or I didn't know I had that gift?
Absolutely. Like, some people feel that your purpose might be related to the job that you do to make money. And right, they might not be aware that for many of us, our purpose doesn't have anything to do with that. It might be something that we access and that we utilize on a daily basis when we're interacting with people at home, in our families, with our job. And the gifts that you get, some people might not recognize. There was many, many years ago when someone had told me, you really have a gift working within groups. And I thought, I'm a pediatric speech therapist. I work one-on-one with kids. However, someone mentioned that to me, and then I started to pay attention. And I realized that what I did do when I was in a group was I was taking stock of every person in that group, seeing, is this person comfortable? Does this person need something? Is this person having someone to talk to? And then if it was appropriate, I would go around and meet the needs of all of those people so everyone could feel like a cohesive member of the group. And I had no idea that that was one of my quote unquote gifts.
So intuitive as well as empathic at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you didn't know that? That's interesting.
I wasn't okay. Tuned in, huh?
Huh. So, okay, where does all this information come from?
So when people give me permission to open up their Akashic Records, I literally am able to connect and channel their Akashic Records, which is a part of their soul. So for me, I am a channel for this person's soul. Everything just flows through me and then can get communicated to them.
So it's actually coming from Well, I don't know. It's not you necessarily, mm-mm. but no. maybe the higher self, the ethereal you.
Yes. I've given permission. My ethereal self is able to go knock on the door of that library, pull out the Akashic record book of the person that I'm working with, and their soul just reads that Akashic information to me. And so I'll get the information. It does process through me, but it processes through my heart center, not through my head, not even mm-hmm. my third eye. And I spent a lot of time learning to discern and making sure that the information that I was receiving was actually not coming from me and was actually coming from the person that I'm working with, coming from their soul and their Akashic records.
That's fascinating, actually. As I'm thinking about it, I'm going to maybe harken back a little bit to our session. My soul must swear too, you know, because I know the earthly me yes. swears. And when Heather and I had a session, she was like, oh, can I swear? And I said, well, yeah. And she goes, oh, okay, because your soul's swearing to me. I was just like, wow, okay. So I we must be on the other side of the tracks. I don't know. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting that happens. And that was kind of cool. I don't know what to think of that, really. now that I said that out loud, I'm like, oh, no. Am I in the principal's office up there? Or is, I don't know, but
it is.
Man, it's pretty cool.
It's really interesting because when you're connecting people with information from their soul and from their Akashic records, it's all meeting them exactly where they are at. So if you're cussing and you're swearing, your soul's like, okay, we can do that here. That's cool.
Ah, okay. Well, okay. So that makes more sense. We're going to yes. make it so he can understand. So go ahead and drop the F-bomb a little bit.
Yep. So, they meet you. Yeah. Yep. They meet you right at the level that you wow. are functioning at. Yeah.
How cool is that?
Well, and it makes it super interesting because every single reading is very different because everyone that comes to see you is very different. So,
I bet.
You know, one person's the person who this lifetime is teaching and working with small children, their soul is coming in and working with them at the level that they are working with their people at. And maybe I'm going to read for someone who is medium and they're working at a really, you know, higher vibration. Their soul comes in and gives them a whole lot of higher vibration stuff. But it's wonderful because I don't have to be concerned that this person isn't going to get what they need when they come to see me for a reading.
Right.
Their soul knows. Right. Their soul yeah. knows why they came. Their soul can answer the questions. And their soul is, I've had people walk out with like a bullet point and to-do list, but their soul knows that that's what those people need. And I've had people walk out with like drawings, but their soul knows that that's what they need. So everybody gets what they need.
Have you ever done a session or do you call it a session or do you call it a reading? I don't know if it's, does it matter?
I call it it doesn't matter, huh?
Yeah. Okay. The session seems more, I don't know why I'm hung up. Session or reading session? But a session seems probably a little bit more accurate. So during a session, have you ever had a client that maybe didn't have a past life before?
I find that the people who are interested in coming to get a reading are people who have a lot of spiritual questions. Mm. And folks who are newer, in my experience, aren't really into that. They're more into processing their information and the world around them in a really logical fashion. So I haven't come across anyone that I've done a reading for that has not had a past life. However, I do talk to people and we investigate relationships with the souls that they are traveling with. Oftentimes, if it if you are having a relationship in this lifetime with a soul and it is significant, oftentimes you have had a lifetimes together. However, I have had people come to me when they're either in a romantic relationship with someone or a friendship or a family member, and they haven't had a life together.
Right. And that is very familiar from our reading. So that's pretty cool. So I guess where I'm being directed here is the uniqueness of Akashic records and all of the information your soul stores. What do you find to be unique or special about Akashic records versus maybe some of the other, and not dismissing or saying one's better than the another as far as your gifts or tools, but I'm just curious, for someone who that's what you do, what do you see that's unique, or what do you feel that's unique about all of this?
So there are a few things that I think very much set working in the records apart from other readings. And again, definitely not to downplay any of the significance that can have in people's lives. The Akashic records, because you are working on a soul level, not just a person level and not just this lifetime level, if there's anything that your soul has carried over, because it's been something that's happening, it's just so ingrained in you, you keep carrying this over lifetime from lifetime. Sometimes there's things we need to clear. Sometimes there's things we need to say, I'm not going to be a warrior anymore. It's time for me to put down my sword and walk away and start dealing with things from a different viewpoint. Or there are lifetimes where someone's voice has just been distinguished time and time and time again. They've paid the price for opening their mouth and letting their feelings and thoughts out. And so they might come into this lifetime feeling that that is just how they have to operate. And if someone comes for a session and that comes up in a reading, that we need to do some work that to clear their soul from something that they have carried from lifetime to lifetime, we have access to soul healing. And in Akashic Records, the way that I was trained, we use prayers. We use something called grace points, which are very similar to acupressure points, acupuncture points, ley lines of energy in the body. And we use these to help make connections and say prayers that can do healing at the whole soul level. So that means that we are affecting not only the past events that happened for your soul in the past lifetimes, but also the current lifetime, and clearing anything so you don't need to carry it into the future. And that is a really significant portion of the Akashic records.
I can definitely see that. And I was wondering that while you're doing you're reading the records, if there has ever come a time where you've heard, well, they're not going to get it this time. They're going to come back again and have to go through that lesson. And that when you're carrying something over, is that typically going to be where someone has a lesson to learn, or they need to reevaluate that because it's not in their soul's best interest to continue bringing that along, lugging that chain, that Jacob Marley chain along?
Yes. Oftentimes people are coming for a reading and a session because they're dragging this chain and they feel it. And they know something is not right. They're frustrated because they've seen this pattern occur time and time again in this lifetime. And the information that I get when I get the opportunity to educate someone, to say, these are steps that you can take to work on healing, to work on your soul healing. These are the prayers you can say. These are the grace points you can use. I don't know if they're going to follow through. I don't know if someone is going to leave and they are going to take the information and do the work. I can provide the information, but I can't do the physical work for people. Everyone has to take that personal responsibility.
Horse to water deal.
Yes. Now,
yeah.
And I have heard, however, when we, and this kind of leads to the other thing that is particular about the Akashic Records, is that you can get the information about the souls that you are traveling with. And if they are souls that you're traveling with in this lifetime, we can have access to past lifetimes that you've traveled with them. And often people may see a pattern for that. And it can help you to understand the souls that you're traveling with in this lifetime if we can dissect what happened in previous lifetimes. It seems to be that that's just a very natural soul connection for people. And there are times where I hear that this soul that you're in your lifetime with, a brother, a father, a mother, a partner, that this soul has an opportunity to heal and an opportunity to do things. They don't know. There's always personal choice and free will.
Sure.
And your soul can't make that call for somebody else, but they can say, here's how we can support you. And this is your responsibility. And this is not your responsibility.
So it's really a double-edged sword as it relates to when you're together in this lifetime together, that you're more than likely there to teach each other something, or there's a lesson to be had from both of you coming together, not just one or the other. Is that pretty typical?
Yeah. Oftentimes when our souls are coming together to work together in a lifetime, the intention is a mutual. It's mutual learning, mutual support.
Okay,
however, if the other soul that you came in to be with isn't going to do the work or can't overcome the problem that they were working on, or for whatever reason, their free will is causing them not to engage or not to participate in your kind of contract that you guys had together, then working in the records can also help you to learn, again, what's yours to do, what isn't yours to do. And for you, you can still have a learning experience.
Okay. Okay, cool. So I'm curious, because everybody has their own way of getting in the flow. We'll just call that that term, energetic flow. What puts you in your energetic flow to start receiving that information?
My training taught me to use a very sacred prayer. I do some grounding work, teeny little bit of breath work, and asking permission. If it's my own records, I don't have to get my permission, but if I'm going to get into anyone else's records, I want to make sure that I have their permission. And I have practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. So it goes quick and it flows really easily. And I did a lot of work to distinguish and determine what information was coming
from you and from them, type of deal.
Discernment is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, okay.
I did a lot of work to learn discernment, to make sure that all the information that I was giving was flowing from their records and doesn't have anything to do with Heather as a person. And it isn't my intuition. It isn't my voice. It's not coming from my head at all.
Well, I would imagine if you're going through someone else's, you know, whether it be current lifetime, previous lifetimes, you really don't know about them. So it would I think it'd be pretty difficult to, do that. You know what I mean? Because then it wouldn't make any sense to that person and I'm only going from my own experience. And by the way, you have my permission at any time to access my records. You go ahead. You've got the hall pass for eternity. I don't see how that could really happen. And not for long anyway. I mean, you could guess, but that's just, parlor tricks and, the carnival barker type of things. And that's not what we're talking about. What I'd like to do, so there's probably some curiosity out there as far as what it's like to go through a session with you. Can you maybe walk us through what a session looks like?
Sure. So when I do a session, I've usually communicated with the person via email and sent a consent form to them, given them kind of the basics of what a session looks like, and then provided some sample questions. Your Akashic Record reading will work best if you are coming with questions that are not yes and no questions, but why? How I'm experiencing this in my life. What do I need to learn from it? What are my purposes in this lifetime? Gifts that I came in with? Can you please tell me about, you know, my family that I'm traveling with? Can you tell me what steps do I need to take to improve things at work? Do I need to make a move? Do I need to make a change? These are some of the questions. We will then set up our session time. My sessions tend to run about an hour. And we then, like I said, I get your permission, say my prayers, we open up our records. And actually we talk when I'm in the records, just like how we're talking now. You can stop, right. You can ask questions, you can interrupt, you can take notes. I do have people record their sessions because it seems like there's so much information. Even if you're trying to take notes, you skip, you forget things. And going back and being able to listen again, I find is very helpful. And sometimes people share these with therapists or life coaches or friends that might be interested and help them to process the information. Yeah, have a
curiosity about it.
Yeah, and we ask questions. And
I can tell you, as I mentioned, having gone through a session with Heather, there are some things that are discussed and you're moving forward. And I know from my personal position was that I was still kind of stuck on those things. So that recording is super beneficial because I went back and listened to it and I was like, oh geez, I didn't even remember that. You know, because I was, even as I listened to the recording, I was still, that's interesting. And starting to dissect some of the things that were said and put them into play currently with what's going on in my life. And then I found myself going, pause, go back and listen to what I missed yet again. So I can say it's incredibly beneficial to have that recording. And I will also tell you this. So I had never had an official Akashic Record session before. And one of my friends that has started taking some coursework on that, and she said that she wanted to open the Akashic Record. So we did that, and it was just like, okay, for like 3 minutes. And when Heather says this an hour, it is an hour of boom, boom, boom. And it's not like she just keeps, you know, plodding through all this information on you. There is ample time to reflect, ask questions and things of that nature, but it moves. It's a lot of information that gets put out there. And some of it connects to with one to the next to the next, and some of it doesn't, which is, again, I use the word interesting a lot because this is all just interesting, fascinating, whatever you want to say to me, because I think I even mentioned to you, I try to go into everything with a healthy dose of skepticism. And then when something hits that's so eerily accurate, it knocks you off center a little bit. It knocks you off, you know, you're like, okay, how did you know that? And or you could be thinking about a question, but you didn't want to necessarily ask it. A couple of the things that you had said in our session together opened that door up to then go towards the question that I wasn't going to even ask. And I think that must be one of those situations where the higher self or your soul goes, hey, you know what? He's not going to ask this question outright. So we're going to get to it. And it comes up.
And that happens often. I will have people come and sit in front of me with a list of questions. And occasionally before someone has wanted, you know, we've sat down and chatted, I've opened up their records, but before they can ask me one of their questions, the records just start going. And I'll be like, okay, so I hear you're here because you're making a change at work and you have these concerns, da, 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 da. And sometimes it might be 20 or 30 minutes into a session before the Akashic records have just dumped what they really feel they need to dump right off the bat. And mm-hmm. I will ask this person, okay, what questions do you have? And they will look at their list and be like, well, we talked about this. And they're just checking them off. And they're like, okay, what is left? And I think that I will also get a bunch of feedback right from the beginning. The records will come through and be like, we're going to tell whatever we need to tell in order for our person to know that it's us. And so mm-hmm. I will get a lot of information just right off the bat that connect people so they can kind of get over it and realize, okay, right. We're here to do some work. We're here to get information. And I think that is so gratifying. And it also is so telling that it doesn't have anything to do with me as a person. The records get it right every time. And it's amazing.
And I can, again, I can attest to that. And by the way, guys, I'm not bullshitting you with this. What I'm saying right now, it's not painfully honest or anything like that. It's not like it hurts me to say, I did this. I'm not embarrassed about it in the least, because I was given information that there is absolutely no way. Because I'll even tell you what I did too. I Googled my name and then was looking for some of that information that you had said. Now, I know you're busy and you're not going to Google people and say, oh, let me find out about what they're into. Let me see if they got in any trouble or anything like that. I did it just because, as I said, making sure that I don't lose my objectivity in this when I'm doing it, because it's really easy for me to do that, because I everyone that comes on the show is somebody that I like and could talk to for hours, and you know, it's which makes it difficult, I guess, for me. So that's why I have to separate myself sometimes and go, okay, let's just see. Oh, there's no way. And I'm telling you, there is no way that she knew some of the things that I was told. So it was super informative, very cool, shocking. There were a lot of things, a lot of feelings and emotion that came, surprise for sure, in some of it. Like, how in the hell did you know that I was doing this, or how did you know that that's what I wanted to do in the near future? And specifically, we're talking about the endeavor that we were talking about, like that center that we were talking about. So there's no way, because that's not out anywhere. You know, let me put my ideas out on the internet. It wasn't there. So it was really cool. So I am a believer in Akashic Records. I'll go on record saying I believe in Akashic Records. So anyway, and thank you for those gifts, and thank you for that time. So we're going to go into the next section, and as anyone can tell you that's ever listened to the podcast before, this is the section when I ask the guest. So I'm going to ask Heather some musical questions. And this is pillar three of our show. And as I mentioned regularly, music is the tie that binds. And I believe everyone has a soundtrack that accompanies their life if they just take a moment to think about it. So, Heather, are you ready for your musical questions?
I have my notes.
Excellent. So what was the first song you fell in love with from the radio, or one that you heard and can remember saying, I can't wait to hear that one again?
So someone had gifted me a tape of Andrew Lloyd Webber's biggest Broadway hits. And it was like a recording of a recording, because that's how we functioned when I was young.
Right.
And so I got this cassette tape and it didn't have any information on it. So I had no idea what it was. And it was his biggest hits. And it was songs from Phantom, and it was Les Mis, and it was like all of these songs with these choruses of people singing together. And I was like, this is magic. I want to know all the words. I want to be able to sing along. And it just, I hadn't heard anything like it before, and it was magical.
That's so cool. So did you, or did your family have a song that everyone would belt out on road trips or vacations when you were growing up? And if you can't think of when you were growing up, it could be even now when your family goes on a road trip.
So my family, when I was growing up, we did not. There was not a lot of music in my house. However, I think the Broadway stuck, and my kiddos, we would sing. My kids knew all the words to the Wicked soundtrack before we ever went to the show, and we would just belt that out in the cars on our way. And I have distinct memories of taking my kids to the shows for the first time. And we've been really fortunate and really lucky to live here in Chicago. So we've been able to expose them to so much. And
great theater.
Amazing theater. And you just, and I, both of my kids are singers. And so we sing in my house now all the time. A lot of Broadway, a lot of modern music now. My kids expose me to new music all the time. Mm. And I love it. And we have been going probably in the last 4 or 5 years to concerts as a family, and just really enjoying all of the music.
That's very cool.
That we have access to. We're really lucky.
Love it. Love it. So what was your favorite song you and your friends would belt out in high school?
Eye of the Tiger. I have memories of roller skating in a concrete basement, wearing like leotards and leg warmers to Eye of the Tiger, and just belting it out, going in circles. And then a little later on in college, like Bryan Adams, John Cougar Mellencamp. I'm aging myself dearly. Jack and Diane, Little Pink Houses. That was like songs from my summer.
So did your musical tastes change from much from high school to college?
I think I was just exposed to more. I got exposed to like Van Morrison and Led Zeppelin and the Stones and the more of that rock and roll that really resonated with me. And I find that I really am attracted to musicians who are really good performers, who it's like the whole package. Harry Connick Jr., who can play a million instruments. And my kids are like, who is that? Like, so cool. Oh, yeah. I love jazz. I think that there's definite stages of music for different stages of my life. And so now I'll hear something and like kind of get transported back to, you know, that age that I was back then, where
Absolutely.
I was back when. Yeah.
And that's the whole idea behind these musical questions, because there are touch points in your life where a particular, it could be a genre of music or a particular song, brings you back instantly. And that's why I ask these songs, because it allows you the opportunity to walk down memory lane a little bit too. And it also tells a lot about who you are, believe it or not, and how you've evolved as a person. So I love these questions, but I love music too. So it's a win-win for me. So as far as the songs that might get your juices flowing, get you really bopping around, what might one of those songs be?
My favorite is Hello Dolly from Hello Dolly.
Get out of town.
We had the opportunity a few years ago to go to New York City, and we got to see Bernadette Peters on Broadway in the role of Hello Dolly. And I And the whole audience, like, it was just like we were transported. It was magical. And like, if I really need to like pump myself up and put myself in a good mood, like, that's one of my go-tos.
I saw it with Carol Channing. This goes back a long time. And Carol Channing probably smoked a pack of cigarettes before she walked right on stage. Yeah. She almost sounded like Satchmo a little bit, you know? Yeah. Which his version of that is amazing. So what is a name of one of your guilty pleasure songs on your playlists?
Oh, anything by Taylor Swift, like the 10-minute version of All Too Well. Absolutely. Like we can sing those till the cows come home for sure. And like Billy Joel's Piano Man, absolutely guilty pleasure.
Oh yeah.
And
I'm a Billy Joel fan, big Billy Joel fan.
Huge. Yeah. We got to see him in concert. It was magical.
Oh yeah. I'll tell you, I've seen him just under, I think I've seen him 8 times in concert. So cool. Yeah. I've been very fortunate that way. And you know, when you mentioned Taylor Swift, I have to say that I have a guilty pleasure song of Taylor Swift on my playlist too, for working out, like on the elliptical, it's Shake It Off because of the tempo. I know. Just, out of myself awesome. There.
And you know, since we've been talking, I realized like there, what really gets me going is groups of people singing. So like the Taylor, like the songs with the individual artists are really good, but if I really need a bunch of energy, it's a group thing. It is.
Oh yeah.
It's the Wicked soundtrack. It's Hello Dolly. It's, you know, it's a group of people singing together, which is one of the most glorious things.
Well, yeah. And I mean, heck, even in your house or your car, when everybody else starts going, that energy level just increases exponentially. And it's so cool to have that. So what song do you believe could change the way people think or feel about the world around them positively if they just took an opportunity to listen to the song's lyrics?
Do You Believe in Magic by The Lovin' Spoonful?
Oh, wow. That is such a little bouncy tune. It's a happy song for sure. That's a good one. Well, and nobody's ever had that one.
And how the music can free her whenever it starts, and it's magic. Like it's, and the music and the magic, like they're in us. And I think if people could realize that, like it's everything is inside of us. And I think if people could really listen to those words and kind of like think about it, it could be like a light bulb aha moment.
Yeah, very cool. So this has happened to me so many different times, and I'm sure it's probably happened to you, but sometimes you hear a song that rings so true it can stop you in your tracks, and then the lyrics sound like they were written specifically for you or written by you. What song is that for you, and why does it hit home so much?
So there's something about the song, The Bright Side of the Road, the Van Morrison version of it. And it talks about from the dark end of the street to the bright side of the road. And Darling, Come With Me. And it's like, if you're someone that you have been through a lot and you've been on that dark side, you're like, but it's really good over here. And we just have to keep going.
Moving.
We have to keep moving. We have to keep going. And there's something about that song that it just fills me with this really positive, glowing energy. And I can just identify with both sides of that road so easily.
That's great. Now, do you have an all-time favorite song?
Gosh.
This would be impossible for me. Mm. If you want to think about it, we can throw it back on the playlist later because, and you know this, but I create playlists from all of this that we talk about today too. So mm-hmm. Come back to that. So no problem.
I'll have to come back to that.
No problem. No problem. I liked your Van Morrison answer quite a bit. So could have stopped with that one. Maybe I will. Maybe I just will on this and do some fancy editing. I don't know. Well, it's just about time to cue the music for today's episode, but don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast to stay up to date with our latest episodes. I'd also like to take a moment to thank everyone again for tuning in today, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Drop the Needle podcast. I'd also like to thank our very special guest, Heather Plun, for being on our show today. Heather, how can folks get in touch with you again?
I have a website. It is www.healingspiritpathways.com is the best way to get a hold of me. And on that website is information about sessions and my email. So if you have any other interest, you can email me and I can hook you up.
Awesome. I'd also like to invite everyone to head on over to our show notes, where there's going to be a link to the playlist from today's episode. And there's also going to be a link for you to contact Heather regarding booking an Akashic record session. All right, my Drop the Needle posse, like Billy Joel says, from the highs to the lows to the end of our show, this is the end of our show. Until next time, this is Jamal Stott wishing you infinite health and happiness and the perfect playlist for your life. Thank you again for being the best part of us. Catch you next time.